Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
How are you this morning?
I am all right.
Well, yes. Now, I'm going to say something, Brother, but I don't want you to answer because I know your socks or your boots hang low.
Really? They hang low, they're resting flat on the ground right now. They ain't hanging at all. Tell me.
Barbadians. Mm-hmm. Are some of the most difficult people to please, and you could put you. I know you prove it many times, but you may not want to say because if you're speaking a different tongue, you ain't belong here and all types of foolishness. Now, when you try to put the taxman in place. He try all ways and means to get wrong to what he wants to say. Because he always been a political platform. Forget he and that part. I'm speaking about that business and business that government own that runs to ruin and the one knocked down and whatnot. You could respond to this one. No, there's a on Bay Street next to the government headquarters, there's a building named JS. I went to school there at that building. I would hate to see that building demolished. I am pleading to whoever is giving instructions to demolish, take down and build that building remain there.
I have sad news for you. I think that's one that can go because they even moved the GIS out of there because they claim it's sick. So trust me, I think that one will go.
Wow.
I can stick my neck out. I almost 99% sure that that gonna go. I telling you, 99% sure that gonna go. Right now it closed up, boarded up. It closed up more often than opened up, and I know that the GIS. Most of the staff, if not all of them by now, were moved out of there because they were complaining about issues with that building. So you see, one of the problems, and this is one of the things we have to understand. One of the problems we have in Barbados is our soft stone architecture and some of the old buildings that we have, while they may be good, pretty, while they, you know, aesthetically pleasing, while we have romantic attachments, over the years, due to negligence, the soft stone, if some of them are made of soft stone, absorbing moisture and closing them up and air conditioning them. You see, a lot of these buildings weren't designed to have air conditioned units. They were designed to allow air to flow through. The ones that are near to my heart and dear to my heart, the red brick buildings around the garrison, those things with the roof 16 feet and some big windows that I could stand up in at 5'10" and don't touch the top because the window that big, weren't made for air-conditioned units and to be closed up. And we closed them up and air-conditioned them to quote-unquote make staff comfortable and then made them sick because of mold and moisture gained the wall and all kinds of things. And then we got to tear it down because we can't fix it. It is unfortunate that in our quest to, you know, make things better, we've made them worse. You have air-conditioned units. You know, we hold programs about this, but people don't listen because they're boring. We had air-conditioned experts, and Colonel Trevor Brown was part of the discussion, talking about how some of the buildings that we've designed over the years, and we've put air-conditioned units into them. The vents were first cork. Then we went to fiberglass. And we just left the old vents in there, the old ducts. We put fiberglass over the cork. We put something else over the fiberglass without taking out the entire vent and changing it. We put bigger units, more powerful units. When they start blow through the cork and the fiberglass and the little particles flying about, the filters can't hold it. So they get into the office. It gets into people's throats. They start to cough and sneeze. They get sick. But we air condition the building to quote unquote make them comfortable. They say that turning off the unit and turning it back on and spraying the telephones to clean it and spraying under your arm with deodorant and perfume when you're going out is not good for an air-conditioned building. But we do it every day, especially now with COVID.
Well, that is part of the cause development.
That's it, sir. We're killing ourselves with development.
I have another couple of buildings.
I'm sure when you went to school there, right?
Yes, sir.
The windows used to be open, right?
Of course.
Wind used to blow through like nothing, right?
Natural air condition.
Page from your exercise book used to flap out and thing, no?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Just checking.
And air conditioning is being installed. Mm-hmm. There's another building that I am not quite sure how dangerous it is now. That's the Jairus Hospital.
Yeah.
On Beckles Road. Mm-hmm. Now, if you ever see that architectural designs from the outside, you would wonder how these people get this crafty
build. Yeah. They had nothing. They had no those electric things to cut stone, or electric saws. And it fascinates me.
It really does. To go, and you can't get something built similar, well, it has to go, because to me it might be, a bit shaky now because of the architectural.
I don't know how sound it is.
I don't know.
I know it was said at one point that they got issues, but the last thing that was said was more about flooding than about structural issues, as Glenn pointed out. So I'm not sure was the issue.
The old hospital. Now, the old hospital was in that condition for over 50 years.
Yeah.
And I don't see why something cannot be done there. If they're going to move the director hospital from where it is, what is wrong with refurbishing or knocking down a building back in that area?
I have often wondered why. It's an expansive property.
Yeah.
It is, all you got to do is extend the silent zone, although we don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Church across the road. I don't think the Catholic churches make a lot of noise.
It has facilities for recreation. You could really, people can come outside and sit down on the trees and so on.
Well,
that area is a
You can carry them across the beach for a little dip in seawater. It's very therapeutic. But we plan to put some hotel expansion across there, so they may have to ask permission to go through the hotel. But, sir, I can't see why not. I got to tell you that. I can't see why not. There's some prefab buildings in there that were supposed to be taken down. They claimed that the roof was asbestos, and they had to be careful how they dismantle it. But they're still not dismantled. They got vagrants in there. They got ladies of the night apparently frequenting there. Some have been attacked. To me, because of the proximity to the hospital, it's a perfect place for expansion. Times have changed, and we could actually put a walkover that's high enough to go from the hospital across to that site if we got to move people from one to the other. And do it covered.
Yeah.
Las Vegas got crossovers to go across 6 lanes of highway. They got elevators to take you up and escalators to move you across. And they got big trailer trucks that pass under them and don't rip down wires. So, we could do it. We just need to take it high enough.
Yeah.
And that piece of road in that wide.
I know. And they have all facilities around. They have the church.
Yeah, just
they
said
want
so.
The church. Mm-hmm. They want to the beach. That's a very good location. But according to
and the family hotel, and the family planning outside for those who want to plan their family after they come out.
Well, instead of licking down and build back, I believe in sometimes cleaning up
and changing the use.
And
we got engineers, we got craftsmen, we got young fellas coming out of community college that I'm sure, and the Polytechnic, who I'm sure will be happy to share this newly acquired skills with the people of Barbados.
Yeah, of course.
And by the way, let me congratulate the persons who receive scholarships from the Barbados National Oil Company. They advertise it on our program. I saw the recipients with their certificates and their picture in the newspaper. Congratulations to you. Go ahead. Keep doing good and, step up to the plate. We need all the craftsmen of our faith. Thank you, sir. Good to hear from you, a little uplifting conversation every once in a while. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Again, good morning.
Let me first give you the Lord's blessing. What you said this morning was a mouthful. It made my day. You hearing me carefully, Mr. Johnson?
Listening with headphones, sir.
Good, good. Now, this is the first time I am calling you. I want to explain something here. First, let me say, I am not well educated. I didn't have much education at school. But I can listen to reasoning. Now, what you try to explain to that gentleman you call the stocks man, you remember the conversation with him?
So I remember all my conversations.
Good, good. Well, this gentleman, I call him a gentleman who knows or claim he knows everything in Barbados.
Sir, he doesn't claim that, and I want you to warn you. Sir, as I said to him, we have certain rules, and I try to abide by the rules, and I try to guide my callers accordingly. I'm glad you called. I'm glad you tried to support me. Sir, let's not talk about our callers, please. I will protect their anonymity. I'll protect their contributions the same way I tried to keep them on the straight and narrow. I will try to keep you there as well. Thanks for your contribution, sir. And thank you for taking the time off to call us. We're happy that you did. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. First, I want to make two quick comments before I get to my what I call about. You familiar with the term putting a government to you?
Putting a government where?
To you.
Putting a government to you?
If somebody told you that they want to put a government to you, you know what I mean?
No, sir, I don't.
They want a bar piece of change.
Well, that's what it is? Oh, okay. I will. I have not put that into my sayings that I didn't know existed until I heard it. Thank you for that one.
A friend of mine put that to me some years ago, and I
and you were lost, or you know what you were talking about?
I couldn't understand what you were talking
about. I am glad you joined me in my confusion.
Right, yeah. And then I was in relation to the guy asked how much money the government borrowed.
Okay.
And the guy who called asking if you could come back after retirement.
After retirement?
I guess if you are just coming to do the program, we the caller.
I would prefer to come and just play some music on a Sunday.
You read in my mind. Right? Because the first thing I wanted to tell you is that I don't normally call you on Brass Tacks. I normally call you and make comments about music you're playing.
Oh, okay.
Like the concerts that never were. And how you outline all the a lot of the musicians who play on various albums by different artists and groups. Mm-hmm. Right. That's why I wanted to start off by telling you that I don't normally call. I normally talk to you about that. Mm-hmm. But, be just too level. Right.
It must be wrong. Raise my heart.
the area from the garrison to, I would say, Parliament, I have a sentimental attachment to that.
I
was a cadet at school, and about two or three Independence Day parades.
You walked down there?
As we left the garrison, the site where I would say our independence was more or less consummated. We go down to government headquarters where the head of government took the salute. After the parade on the Savannah. And then we march all the way down to Independence Square, right, through to Queen's Park, where the unarmed units are dismissed, life. And to me, I was thinking, you know, that if I became prime minister in my next reincarnation, I would name the area from
government headquarters or the garrison, from the garrison
mm-hmm. to parliament as Independence Drive Boulevard.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
There's so many aspects of memorabilia of our nationhood along that route that I just called, you know, especially to Queen's Park, right? The governor was in some way connected to Queen's Park years ago, I think, right? So, I mean, the aspects of our history and our nationhood, right? And then it's all part of the heritage area, from the garrison to Bridgetown, and it's a historic area or garrison, whatever it is. I don't remember the correct title, the full correct title. Right, but I noticed we are moving, as you said, the first, or as Glenn Murray, I think it was said, the ministerial buildings, as they were known in my early days, and my four parents, I would have heard them refer to government headquarters as the ministerial buildings, right? I don't know if somebody is looking to be a lick down and build back. Artists, right? But we go to the geriatric hospital now, right? I understand there's some talk about putting a hotel in the area,
turn it into a conference center hotel, something like that. Yeah.
Right. The geriatric hospital moving to Waterford. The old Waterford plantation.
Yeah, across there.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know exactly where the place is being put.
Neither do I.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think there's good room up there, and the ambiance is a kind of wooded area.
Sir,
it has a lot. Some trees out there.
Hold on. Here is where, right? I am very careful with my statements. And when people ask me to reconsider what I say or tell me, you know, take issue with what I say, I always go back to my source of information, which I'm not saying is perfect. The opening paragraph on the back page of the newspaper, and this is why it concerned me, said, the main geriatric hospital is to be relocated from Beckles Road to Waterford St. Michael, and I'm quoting this part emphatically, within the environs of the National Botanical Gardens. Now, Waterford Plantation House, as far as I know, is across from the Botanic Gardens. It's across on the other side. So I would not consider it within the environs of. And that's why I asked, where is it going? And was the Botanic Gardens not supposed to be a green space? That's why I said what I said when I read it.
I asked
that question because I know the Waterford Plantation House, and yeah, it across the road from Commonmere, way in the corner, and it ain't by the Botanic Gardens. As far as I know, on the other side, you may be able to stay up there and look, you know, down on where the prisoners used to have their farm and so on.
But I don't know.
Sometimes what is reported is not what was said, but that's why I asked.
Because I would say that the plantation house area is in the environs of the Botanic Gardens, but I don't know exactly the limits, the boundaries, right, of the Botanic Gardens. So I will give up on that, right, because like I said, I don't know.
Neither do I, and all I was doing was asking a question, like, you know, because I figured, look, if you want to find out, you ask a question. I ain't one of them men who, if I lost, I ain't going to ask a question. If I lost, I can say I lost, And I would like to find out how to get out of being lost. I ain't got a problem with that. So I thank you. Someone sent a message to me saying that, you know, it's the first time they disagreed with me on anything because they disagreed with my saying to the gentleman who was talking about the buildings across from the beach being used as a extension of the hospital, that it was given global warming and tsunamis. I think sometimes we kid ourselves when we think that if we are hit by a tsunami, that simply moving from Bay Street to, I don't know, Kalama Rock, that we save, or St. George. In Alaska, the tsunami wave was 100 feet high and the wave ran ashore, snapped trees 1,700 feet upslope. The highest point in Barbados is Hillaby, as far as I know, and it's 1,100 feet. So depending on what Kickham Jenny does and the tsunami wave, I don't think we're safe at Rendezvous or St. George, or perhaps even St. Thomas. Mount St. Catherine in Grenada is 1,910 feet above sea level. I can't remember what's the highest in St. Vincent or even Dominica. They might quicker survive depending on the height. I get the don't put it close to the coast thing because of coastal surges, and I get the flood-prone areas, and I only hear the tsunami part of it. And the reason is Barbados is a flat country, basically. It's not a Dominica. That's mountainous, where people live on the coast and they could barely get up the mountain side. Hillaby ain't that high. So it depends on that surge and how high it goes, because there have been some that are pretty high. I just picked one at random. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. DJ.
Morning, sir.
How are you today, sir?
Not bad at all.
Okay, good. Morning to your producer and the listening public. Mm-hmm. Mr. DJ, I have a problem here with the bank. Now, I'm a retiree, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get two pensions, one from National Insurance and one from a certain
institution?
Insurance establishment. I can't call the name on the program.
So there ain't nothing about calling names. You know, the problem about calling names is if you say something about them that would cause them to write the station and tell them, you know, we ain't like what you say about us. But anyhow, go ahead. Because sometimes if what you say could identify the party or parties without calling the name, it's just as bad. We get sued already for the big chief and each and every. So, you know, and no names were called at either occasion.
Okay. That's a short check, as we all know, it's changed at the post office. The other one has got a change at a certain bank. I don't have an account at the bank. I go to the bank and I change the check. So, would you believe, at the time I was sick, I sent my wife to change the check. I went on the back, please pay to, I guess using the name Mrs. Johnson for Mr. Johnson. Gave her my ID card and everything. And you believe that? Tell my wife she got to have an account at the bank in order to get my check in.
So, and that is what I find to be nonsensical, and that the banks persist in saying this, and that everyone seems to wring their hand and say, well, we can't do nothing about it. So I can't understand what has happened to the banking laws and regulations that we've come to this. I understand fraud. I understand that people are finding new and devious ways to defraud banks. But they're doing it online too. They're doing it with credit cards. They're doing it with debit cards. They're doing it with ATM machines. They're doing it with computer hacking. They're doing it with any new thing that the bank come up with. Even changing the note so it's harder to counterfeit. Counterfeiters going to work and doing it in less time than they used to before because they have better tools to deal with it. So if John Stout has an account with the First National Trust and Bust Bank. If he has $100,000 in it, if he writes me a check for $100 and I give it to my wife and she goes in with my ID so they could see my signature, her ID so they could see her signature, they could see Mr. Stout's signature because they have it there, they could check his account and see he has $100,000 in it, I can't see why they can't give me $100. To tell me to leave and catch a bus and go to the Second National Trust and Bust Bank or go somewhere else because it against policy does not make sense. If you're selling a man a checkbook and charging him for operating a checking account, then if I were the man who can't write a check, I would get him back the checkbook and tell them, here, take it. I ain't giving you no more money because it ain't working for me.
I ain't taking your credit card neither.
Because if you mess up my checking account, you can mess up my credit card when you feel like it too. I no longer have faith or trust in you. Goodbye.
I mean, it made no sense whatsoever. And that money, at that particular point in time, we was getting on to pay some bills.
Correct.
I understand.
Correct.
All right. Correct. Next thing, the St. Joseph Hospital in Astor Hall, St. Peter. What do you come up with that? What do you do with that?
So it closed up doing nothing.
But ice pass, I see a guard there. Will you be guarding it?
The property. So that you and I don't go and squat there and plug in the air condition and swim in the swimming pool and pick from the fruit trees. I can't help you.
Why can't the government take that and make it a mini hospital to serve the people in St. Lucie, St. Peter, St. Andrew, Lower St. James, and take some of the strength off the QEH?
Sir, and in addition to serving the good people of those areas, the nice visitors at Port St. Cow and Port Farinland, who have plenty of money to spend, who want to come and do a little facelift and bust lift and tummy tuck and all them other things they pay for and convalesce in the surroundings, they could do them too.
Correct.
And if they want to give them further places of therapy rather than Port St. Cow and Port Farinland, they could fix up the North Point Surf Resort for bicycling and walking and, you know, all the things. And they had a 50-meter swimming pool up there with a diving board. You know, if they want to do gymnastics or whatever.
I don't understand. You're going to take
money. The North is ripe.
Yeah, you're going to take money, not only all insurance building. You're going to tell them now to put a heritage park there. You knock down the fire station. Right now, there's a bedroom fireman of being home.
In various places.
That they're going to pay rent for.
I'm not sure. No, I don't think they're paying rent for some of them because some of them in Worthing and some other in other places. But I don't know if they're paying rent for it.
Okay, fine.
But suppose
to build a fire station someplace else in Semigo, right?
They're supposed to build it up opposite the school in going up towards Wilde. Yes, sir. In the corner where the used to be depot. It's right next to where CXC new headquarters are, I think.
So tell me something. Wouldn't it make more sense to build the new fire station and then not only want to move the people?
Well, it depends on what you plan to do, where the old one was, and if you thought the funds were coming for one before you got to the other. I don't know. So priority is always one of the things that I can't tell you about. You know, people have various priorities. You may want to fix the car. The madam may want a new pair of shoes. And then, while you're all arguing about that, the child come and tell you, you know, that they're coughing and sneezing and you need to take them to the doctor. What are you going to do at that point?
Yeah, sure.
Car got to wait, shoe got to wait, child got to take care of.
Yeah.
Life.
One more point, sir. Mm-hmm. I would like to, just a suggestion, my suggestion. Mm-hmm. Can you all designate one day of the week to have the program just religiously?